1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to preach on one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And the strange thing is, I've quoted this verse and 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 lived by this verse, but I've never preached a message on it. This will be the first time. I've preached thousands of messages, but I've never preached one on this particular verse. And it's clearly one of the greatest verses in the Bible, especially for a child of God. In 1 Peter chapter number 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, and it says this, 1 Peter 5, 6, we'll pick it up verse number 6, and this is kind of the context. Notice 1 Peter 5, 6 says this, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God." Starts with humbling yourself. And that's one of the hardest things for you and I to do sometimes. "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Verse 7 says this, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." It starts with that, humble yourself before God. And that's kind of the condition there. Then there's the commandment God gives you, casting all your care upon Him. And then there's the contrition here. The "be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about whom he may, seeking whom he may devour." And the way he's going to devour you is those cares that you have. Look at the next verse. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions," talking about those afflictions that the devil will attack you with, "are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." He's saying the same things going on in you are going on with the brethren, "but the God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered." We're all going to go through things. We're all going to be afflicted, that verse is talking about. "But after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." And that Bible says, "Humble yourselves above the mighty hand of God, and casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Because be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And the way he'll devour you, my friend, is with the cares of this world. That's how he'll do it. That'll get your eyes off the Lord quicker than anything there is. And that verse 7 is one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 it says, "Whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises." And brother, 1 Peter 5, 7 is an exceeding great. It's beyond great. It exceeds great. And it's 11 of the greatest words you'll ever hear as a child of God. I mean, this verse is amazing. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you." And when you sit down and think about that verse and you chew on that verse a while, brother, I'm going to tell you, it'll blow your mind. It's greater than anything that mankind could ever offer you, is that verse right there. No matter what you go through, that Bible said, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And I want to just expound a few minutes on that verse this morning. What they call an expository message. And expound means to explain. Go back throughout the Bible, it says that. And it said about Jesus, the beginning of Moses, the prophecy expounded to them in the Scriptures, the things concerning Him. And it means to explain, and it comes from the word pound. And the word pound means to beat and impress. And the word expound literally means to take the Word of God and drive it home and impress it and give it to you. And I want to try to drive this verse home to you this morning. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Now, Father, I pray Your blessing upon this message this morning, God. And dear Lord, do what I cannot do. Expound this message. Expound these 11 words, God, like You've expounded them in me. Even more so, God. Lord, I can't do it. I pray the Holy Spirit this morning, the Holy Ghost would move in this service this morning. I pray everybody would be attentive, God. I pray that hearts would be open, God. I pray that they'd be looking for something from You this morning. And Lord, I pray that You wouldn't disappoint them, God. I pray, Lord, that they'll know that You showed up. And I pray, God, You'd feed them this morning. Give them what they need. Give us a touch from another world, Lord. We get the touch of the world. We need a touch from You this morning, Lord. Now, I pray Your blessing upon this message in Jesus' name. And for His sake alone, amen and amen. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." 11 of the greatest words you'll ever hear in your whole life. And I want you to notice the first word it says over there. It says, "Casting
all your care upon Him. And I love the way the Lord words His words. I love the words of this verse. Remember Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." God is interested in every word in that Bible. And I love how God uses those special every words. And I love what God said. He said, "Casting all your care upon Him." Well, I looked up the word cast. It means to throw. It means to fling or send. It means to drive from by force. And you know what God is telling you this morning? I've heard preachers say, you know, lay your burdens down and all that kind of stuff. But you know what He's telling you? He's saying, take those burdens and take those cares and cast them. Throw them to Me. Don't even keep them. Don't even bring them to the altar. Don't even take the time to do that. He said, throw those burdens. Throw them away. Fling them. Drive them by force away from you. Cast them upon Him. You know, it took too many times. We carry them around too long. But that's not what the Bible said. It said that casting all your care upon Him. It's not coming down. And I preached it and heard preacher said, come down this altar and lay your burdens down. You don't have to come down this altar and lay these burdens down. You can cast them to Him. You don't even have to pray through to it. Casting all your care unto Him. Jesus over here said, hey, throw me your care. Let me have it. Let me handle it. Get rid of it as quick as you can. Because I'm going to tell you, the longer you hold on to them, Miss Rachel, the bigger they get. The bigger they get. They can be so small or something, and you can let that thing grow and grow and grow and grow. And that mole hill you heard the saying will become a mountain. Hey, just cast it. And give it to Him. Casting all your care. You notice how that word ends? With an ing. You know what an ing word is? Remember from school? It's called an action verb. You know what that means? That means it never ends. For the Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, we keep our eyes upon Him, like Miss Janet said. You never get that off. It's an action verb. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God. And God loves those ing words. And that word casting means it's an action word. You keep doing it. You're casting and casting. It's not cast your care. It's casting. You continually do it. Day by day. Minute by minute. You keep on. It's a 24/7 action. It's time to cast them on the Lord. The Lord likes those action verbs. He likes them ing words. Casting all your care upon Him. Look at the next word. There's the casting. I love this verse, Miss Rachel. I mean, only God could write this. Only God could say, casting, let me have it. And boy, we're so foolish sometimes. We like to drag it around like we know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing. Look at the next word. There's the completion. All. A-L-L. God is a God of completion. God, when He does something, brother, He does it completed. And one of His favorite words in the Bible is that word all. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from A-L-L, all sin. Not part of it. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But my God shall supply all your need. Romans 8:28. And we know that all, A-L-L, all things work together for good. I'm glad God is the God of the completion. He's the God of all. Casting all your care upon Him. You know, there's nothing too big for the Lord. Nothing. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for Me? How the Bible said, Miss Jenna, He spoke the worlds into existence and created this whole amazing universe just with His words. There's nothing too hard for God made this world. But let me tell you something, there's nothing too big for Him. Brother Odell has buttons I made for him. Brother Coley preached a message years ago up at Steele, Alabama, where Brother David, my cousin, was pastor. And he preached a message on, my God is bigger than that.
And Brother Odell will tell you, he is away from God, hadn't been to church in a while. And he come in that night, and he came in the side door. He didn't want to come in the back, Miss Liz. It was earlier. You know, I know Brother Odell. Now, I'm not telling you nothing he wouldn't tell you. But he came in a door like this right here, because he didn't want to come in the back because he was late. And when he came in, Brother Coley was already preaching. So when he came in, everybody saw him. He's trying to sneak in. You know how that goes. And of course, he comes right in the front. Sits down. Brother Coley preached that message, "My God is bigger than that." And Odell got right with God. Been right ever since then for 10 years. And he had me making buttons up. "My God is bigger than that." Remember that. And God is bigger than that. But let me say something to you this morning on the flip side. God is bigger than that. There's nothing too big for Him. But there's nothing, Miss Jane, that is too small for God either. See? Sometimes we think He's just the God of the mountain, brother. He's the God of the valleys. Listen, brother, there's nothing too small for God.
Amen.
Sometimes you know what happens? It's the little things that'll get us out of trouble. We'll get this idea, "Well, I don't want to bother God about that little deal." You better bother Him. Somebody said, "If you don't bother God about everything, everything will bother you." You know what God wants you to? He said, "Casting all your care, let me have those little things." Because those little things can drag you down. Over there in Song of Solomon chapter 2, says this. It's the little foxes, it says, that spoil the vines. You see, the little foxes, sometimes they can climb up under the fence. They can get through that little hole, Brother Alonzo. Now you can keep those big old foxes out sometimes, but it's that little one that'll sneak in and spoil the vines. And sometimes in our life, it's the little things that'll spoil the vines in our life. Those are some of the things sometimes, brother, that can take us out of the will of God. Get our minds off the Lord. Get us, Lord, just messed up. One time Jesus Christ told those Pharisees, one time in Matthew chapter 23, He said, "You blind guides," He said, "you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel." He said, "You're so picky about some of these little things, and yet the bigger things you just forget about." Well, I want to tell you what God, these people sometimes do. You know what they'll do? They'll strain at the camel and they'll swallow the gnat. And you know what that little gnat will do? That little gnat can drive you crazy. You ever tried to read your Bible and one of those stinkers flying around? We get them at our house sometimes. That one was there the other night. We was eating pizza and that thing. I mean, they don't bite. They don't bite. They're little fruit flies. But boy, they can bug you to death, Miss Martha. I'm sitting there trying to read my Bible and that little stinker's going, and I'm swatting. You can't kill him. He's not going to sting you. He's not going to bite you. He's just a little bitty gnat. But let me tell you, that little gnat can bug you to death. And the little things sometimes, brother, they can bug you to death. And sometimes, you know what you can do? You can choke on them. You ever breathe in one of those gnats? I mean, I've been preaching before outside. And I've been preaching and sucking in the wind. All of a sudden, one of them things goes down my throat. I about choked to death. Said the cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things, it'll choke the word of God, make you unfruitful. And sometimes those little gnats in your life, brother, you can breathe them in and they can choke you. You know, there's a lot of people, not a lot, but you know some people, literally, I looked this up, they choke to death on those gnats. Breathe them in, get down their choke in their throat, and they're coughing it up, and this Rachel, and they literally choke to death. You know what you need to do? You need to, God, give the Lord the little gnats and the camels and everything in between, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You say, "You mean the little things, preacher?" Sometimes those little things, they become big things if you're not careful. You realize this verse we were talking about this morning? You realize there's 7 billion people on the planet. That's a lot of folks. Man, we go down there at Chalkville on Friday afternoon and preach, and Miss Liz comes by some, and it seems like there's 1 billion right there. So many people coming down that road, it's incredible. I'm thinking, where all these people live? And all these people in the world, and God has personally made us His promise that, "Hey, give me all your care." He said, "I'm that concerned about you, my Easter." You say, "This little old pipsqueak in Springville, Alabama, God is that concerned?"
That's what he said. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You see, them little things, a lot of times, they can become big. Them old gnats can be big as one of them wasps. Every time I've cut that bushes here lately, I've been stung by those wasps. Me and those wasps, we don't get along, brother. Oh, them things are bad news, boy. One of them got me last time about an inch from the eye. I bought me a beekeeper suit, Brother Alonzo, next time I went out there to cut that thing. Those little gnats, they can bug you. The little cares of this life, Miss Martha, they can drive you nuts. They can get you out of the will of God, get you where you try to read the Bible, you can't keep your mind on it, you're just daydreaming, you're worried about something just silly and stupid. And it happens to me all the time. This week, we got our phone. We got our little Verizon phone. We got a 2 gigabyte plan. We get a message telling us we are over our usage. They're going to charge us $15 extra this month. And we went past the 2 gigabyte. I'm thinking there's no way we use that much. We don't do nothing but play around and call and text. We don't do nothing. And I got on the internet. It was my wife's phone. Over 2 gigabyte. Data usage. That's not text or phone. That's data. And I called Verizon. And I was thinking, what's going on? And I call Verizon. And I get them. And they say, you know, they take you through all this stuff. And they say, due to the COVID-19, everybody says this now, you'll have a longer wait times and all this kind of stuff. And they say your wait time is approximately 10 to 15 minutes. And they put on the most awful music, Miss Martha, you've ever heard in your life. I'm not talking about rock. I'm just talking about obnoxious music over and over and over and over and over. I waited on the phone, Miss Jane, for over an hour for somebody to come to the phone. You know, I figured out, Miss Martha, why they play that music. Because they want you to hang up. That's why they do. It's the worst music I ever heard in my life. And finally, over an hour later, this lady gets on. It looks at me, it looks good. I can understand about one every fifth word. I mean, I'm sitting there trying to figure out. She's trying to figure out me. We're trying to figure out. And I'm explaining everything to her and trying the best I can tell her. And she said, well, your wife must have got on the web. I said, my wife don't know what the web is. She's never been on the web, never in her whole life. And she said, well, I bet she likes to play games. I said, my wife never played a game on her phone in her life. She hardly ever uses this thing. And so finally, she says this. Whatever I can do. She said, I can put you in this other plan. And she said, it'll be for the same price, it'll be unlimited. She said, I can give you this unlimited plan, 55 years plus. And she said, it won't cost you a thing extra. And she said, you'll never have to worry about that usage again. I said, well, okay, do that. That'll work. Well, I should have known better. You know what that was? I mean, 2 hours, Miss Martha, I'm on the phone. A nap means nothing. Well, 2 days later, I decided to get on the internet and check my Verizon account, see if it lived up. And normally, I pay $94.38 every month. This month, the charge was $127.11. And I thought, my goodness, I should have known better. And at first, Miss Jenna, I thought, well, I'll just pay the difference. I don't want to have to go through all that again and wait an hour and go through all that and get somebody there that I can't understand and go back through all this stuff again. I mean, it's just them little gnats. And they just mess up your whole day. Hard to read the Bible, you're thinking about that. And I said, I did a different thing. I decided to do something different this time. Miss Rachel, you know what I did? It's going to surprise you. I prayed and asked the Lord to handle it. I've been working on this message. And the Lord said, won't you cast this on me? Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Let me have this. Aren't you tired of it? I said, Lord, that lady's wearing me out. And so I got on the phone, Miss Jane, and I called. And God is my witness. That music came on. And I was thinking, I'm just going to pay it. And I mean, in 2 minutes, this lady answered the phone. She said, hello, Mr. Watkins. My name is Rhonda. How may I help you? Woo! I thought, am I on candid camera? This lady knows what she's saying. I understand her. It's just been a couple of minutes.
And I explained the situation. What went on? And I said, they put me in this new plan. It went up like crazy. I said, I don't have to pay this. 2 gigabytes, fine. And she said, well, let me check, Mr. Watkins. She come back and she said this. These gnats. She said, Mr. Watkins, I'm sorry. But that plan that you were on, the 2 gigabyte plan, she said, we no longer offer that anymore. That's an older plan. We don't have that available. I said, well, boy, I'd sure like to get... She said, Mr. Watkins, let me check with my manager. Let me go and tell him how good a customer you are and see if they'll grandfather you back in there. Because it's our fault we got you out. And I said, I appreciate that. And about 2 minutes later, Miss Rachel, she comes back on the phone and she starts telling me what she's doing, what they're going to do. And honest to goodness, if I'm telling you the truth, the Lord knows it, the phone hangs up in the middle of the call. I'm thinking, I'll never get that lady again. I'll never get that lady again. Just the gnats and the gnats and the gnats and the gnats and the gnats buzzing. And about 3 minutes later, I get a text on my phone. I still got it. Mr. Watkins, I'm sorry something happened to the phone. I'm on another call. I'll call you back in a few minutes. And bless your soul, that lady called me back in a few minutes. And you know what? They got my bill down to $78 for next month. I went out and checked it. She said, we feel bad about this, and so we're going to give you a credit for that. And next month, your bill will be $78. And bless God, you say, what was that? That was just one of those old gnats that just brought you down. And Jesus said, let me have it. And boy, when I gave it to Him, it sure did work out a lot better. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. There's an all. There's that completion. There's the care. Your care. I like that. It said, casting all your care. You know the thing about this? It's up to you. Most of the Bible is about you. Most of the Bible God wants you to do. I cannot cast your care upon Jesus Christ. That Bible didn't say cast all their care, cast all His care, her care. It says casting all your care. It's your responsibility to give it to the Lord. It's not only your responsibility, my friend, it's your opportunity to aid God. Here it is. Take it. I mean, brother, that's a great promise. Casting all your care upon Him. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You know who the you is? You know who the you is? It's you. It's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you. Every one of us in here, God has a direct command and said, hey, listen, cast your care, that care, you got all of it. On me, I'll take it. Boy, we wandered around a lot of times. Listen, that Bible says over in Titus 1:2, in the hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised for eternal life before the world began. He cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6 said it is impossible for God to lie. Numbers 23, God is not a man that He should repent of the Son of Man. It is said, has He not said it, shall He not make it good? He said, give me all your care. Casting all your care upon me. You know what that means? That means God will take it. You know, I was reading this verse and thinking about this thing. That's a mind-boggling verse. I'm reading it to me, see. Because that's what He's writing it to, me. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I mean, that's to me. But brother, think about that, Miss Martha. Think about this for a minute. Every Christian that's ever read that verse, Miss Rachel, can claim it. Peter wrote that 60 A.D. 1,960 years of Christians have been through the lion's den. Thrown out there and the lions would eat them. They've been burned at the stake. They've been through all kind of suffering, heartache, and health problems. And we read them in the hymn book. Some of them are burned at the stake. Right now, many of them are suffering from persecution. Every last one of them can claim that verse. Wow. Man, what an amazing God we have. Casting all your care. You say, who's that to? That's every Christian that's ever walked this earth. And let me tell you, friend, they have been through some things, man. Boy, you study history, just some of the things that people go through. Over there in Psalm chapter 48, verse 1 says this, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of holiness.
Psalm 146:3 said, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." Listen, God is so great, Miss Martha, He can say to Christians, all generation, Brother Ben, He said, "Casting all your care upon Him." I mean, Christians that have went through the fire. Christians all around the world. Richard Wurmbrand, 13 years in a concentration camp in Bulgaria. Harlan Popoff, 13 years in a concentration camp in Romania. John Bunyan over there in Bedford Jail for 13 years. Christians in concentration camps. All that Tommy Tillman's went through. All the things they've been through. Jesus has said, "Hey, casting all your care." Wow. Only God can make something like that. All your care upon Him. There's the casting. There's that completion. There's all your care. And then I want you to notice, casting all your care upon Him, there's the carrier. There's the one that can handle it. Casting all your care upon Him. Verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called you into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus," says this, "after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." He is the only one that can handle it, brother. He's the only one that's got the shoulders big enough. He's the only one that can handle the load in my life and this world. He's the carrier. Casting all your care upon Him. Psalms 118 verse 8. I'm going to tell you, the government can't do it. Have you figured it out? I hope you're not that dumb. I hope you're not thinking Donald Trump can fix this or Joe Biden can fix this mess. They can't fix it. Barack Obama couldn't fix it. Bush can't fix it. Reagan can't fix it. George Washington couldn't fix it. Listen, there's only one carrier upon Him that can handle this. Over there in Psalm 118 verse 8, it said, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." And the next verse said, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." Donald Trump said this when he was here recently. He said this, quote, He said this week. He said, "I'm the only thing standing between the American dream and total anarchy, madness, and chaos." I want to tell you, believe that, you got rocks for brains, brother. The only thing that can stand between you and chaos is Jesus Christ. Donald Trump ran, "Hey, I'm the law and order president." He said, "I'm the only one that can fix it." How is that working out today? Have you looked at the news? He can't fix it. Biden can't fix it. The Democrats can't fix it. The Republicans can't fix it. Jesus Christ is the only one that can fix this. Casting all your care upon Him. He's the carrier. He's the one that should get you through it. He's the one you need to cast it to. It's amazing to me the things that I've seen Christians go through. It's amazing. And when I say I see them go through, I seen them glow through it. They don't just go through it, Miss Rachel, they glow through it. Diane Hudson out there with those four bouts of cancer and open heart and strokes, and man, there's a glow of that. You say, what happened? She carried it to Him. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That old guy comes out here, John Prescott, that lives in that old van, that comes by every once in a while, passes out some tracts all the time. That old boy went to the doctor with a sore throat a few years ago. I read you some of his emails, and he had stage 4 throat cancer. And that guy in his email, you know what he's doing, Miss Rachel, Miss Liz, he is praising God for that throat cancer. Said in everything, give thanks for this little God. He is saying, glory to God. And I read them to you in the church. As he's given them to, he said, "Well, glory to God. God gave me this so that I could witness to these doctors and nurses in the hospital." And that's what he did. All those emails, all the chemo, the radiation, that took out a lot of his teeth, part of his throat, and through it all, Miss Marcy, what the hell boy's doing? He was glowing. Say, what'd he do? Casting all your care upon Him. He can handle it. He's the only one that can handle it. It's amazing what I've seen Christians go through. Not just go through, man, they glow through it. It's amazing what God can do. He can carry the load. He's the only one that can carry the load. He said over in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto Me. Come unto Me, all you that heavy laden and labor. I'll give you rest. Let Me have it." Too many times we drag it around. Boy, this world's a mess. It's a mess.
I lay in bed sometimes. Sometimes I lay in bed. But when I lost my job, I'd always work, always have. And I lay in bed and think of everything, Brother Alonzo, that could go wrong. And right now, I lay in bed, think about my wife and all the things. And I'm thinking about that thing, and it starts bothering me. Miss Rachel, you know what I do? I start quoting that Bible. I lay in that bed and I start Philippians 4:13, Lord. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding weight of glory. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I just keep going. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And I just quote those old verses. I say I quote them, but I do more than quote them. When I do, I breathe them. I breathe them. The Word Bible says over there in Matthew, over there in 2 Timothy chapter 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration comes from the word inspire. The word spire means to breathe. It comes from the word spirit, which means to breathe. That word inspiration there literally means God breathed these words. We're talking about a spiroscope is what they measure you when you breathe. And the word spire, it means to breathe. It's an inspiration. And these words that God give us, you know what they are? They're God breathed words. It says over there in Psalms 33 verse 6, the word of the Lord, where the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. You know what this book right here is, brother, according to that verse? It's the very breath of His mouth. And brother, when I lay there sometimes, and I'm just like you, I worry about these things and worry about these things. And when I'm laying there, and a lot of times it's at night in bed, I might wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and some of that will be on my mind. I'll start breathing those words. Casting all your care upon Him. And I just keep doing that, and God, the Holy Ghost, will come in. Brother, I can just feel that peace that passes all understanding. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, casting all your care upon Him. He can handle it. He's the only one that can handle it. Casting all your care upon Him. There's the casting. There's that completion all. There's that care for you. There's that carrier upon Him. And by the last part of that verse says this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I look up the word for. The word for says because. On account of, or by reason by. And the reason you and I can count on that verse, and the reason we can say casting all your care upon Him, Miss Martha, is because He careth for you. That's why we can take that, Miss Rachel, and we can bring those problems down to Jesus Christ, and we say, Lord, here it is. Take it, Lord, and cast it upon Him and let Him handle it. We got Obamacare. We got Medicare. We got Trump Care, and none of them works. But you know what I got this morning? I got the real deal. I got Jesus Cares, for He careth for you. I got Jesus Cares. You know, the best health care plan in the world, and I preached about God's amazing health care plan a while back. The best health care plan in this world is for He careth for you. Jesus Care. You know, the greatest evidence of that care that took place, my friend, was an old rugged cross. You know how I know He cares? You know how I can trust those verses? You know, I don't matter what happens in this life, I can look to my Savior knowing that He cares. Knowing the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. Because of an old rugged cross where Jesus Christ died on that old cross. greatest evidence of the care of Jesus Christ and God the Father was a hill called Calvary. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this. Greater love hath no man than this, said a man to lay down his life for his friends. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. 1 John 4:10, and herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Romans 5:8, God commanded His love toward us, and then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Revelation 1:5, and Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The reason we can cross that verse, 1 Peter 5:7, is because of a hill called Calvary. But God commanded His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Take your Bible. I'm about done. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 7 real quick and look at this. Romans chapter 7. There's the care and the concern Jesus Christ has. What a verse. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Aren't you glad you're in a Bible-believing church that believes the Bible and you trust the Word of God? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I open this Bible up and read it and trust it. Knowing whatever goes on, He'll never leave me nor forsake me. There I can boldly say the Lord is my helper. Hebrews 13:5. He's concerned. There's His care and compassion for He careth for you. I love this. In Romans chapter 8, I tell you, Romans chapter 7. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know how I know He cares? Because of the greatest love the world's ever seen on a cross. Look at this. This is great. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says this. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at this next verse. Look at this next verse. This ought to answer anything. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Listen, if He had sent His Son come down here and die for you, Miss Rachel, He'll take care of you. He's that kind of God. For He careth for you. Look at them next verses. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that dies, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Look at it. Who also maketh intercession for us right now. He's interceding for me and my wife. Look at that next verse. Who shall separate us? Look at that. From the love of Christ. You say, why can you say that? Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Because that love that He has. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? None of it! He goes on to say this. This is amazing. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He's saying we're all going through stuff. We're all dying. We're all counted sleep. We're all going through it. But he said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Watch this. Here it is. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, you can take 1 Peter 5:7 to the bank, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you because of what He did on Calvary. That sealed the deal, brother. If God loved you so much, He that spared not His own Son, shall He not freely give us all these things. He's going to take care of you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I read years ago about Dwight L. Moody, who was one of the great preachers of yesteryear. Moody was something else. Way overweight. Never called to preach. Said he never felt a calling. Brother Alonzo said he saw a need and he volunteered. Probably the greatest preacher of our generation, Dwight L. Moody. Brought the greatest revivals in Britain and anywhere in America and brought the greatest revivals. See, I got pictures of some of those revivals. Man, unbelievable, the people. Dwight L. Moody's never called to preach. Never had an ordination service. Nobody ever ordained him. God ordained him, he said. Had a beard, looked like Santa Claus. Have you ever seen pictures of the movie? Big old guy. Least likely guy you'd ever think to preach the gospel. Somebody said God's joke on preaching was Dwight L. Moody. Stuttered so bad the first time he got up, lady said, I counted 54 grammatical errors, and you, when you just said that, she said, you made a mess of the English language. God will never use you, she said. Greatest preacher of our generation, last 200 years probably. He preached in the 1800s. Dwight L. Moody one time been at a revival, Brother Alonzo, and he's there at that revival, and one of the pastors came up to him and said to him, he said, Brother Moody, he said, I got one of my men here in the church. And he said, I want you to go by and visit him. And Brother Moody said, well, I'll be happy to go by and visit him. And he said, well, let me tell you a little bit about him, Brother Moody. He's in his 40s now, but he said he was 10 years old. He said he jumped off a cliff into the water and hit his head at the bottom and broke his neck. And he said he's been paralyzed, lying in a bed. He can't move anything for the last 40-some years. This man laying in that bed. And Dwight L. Moody thought to himself, and I've read an autobiography, Moody's actually preaching, saying this. And he's saying, what can I say to this man, Miss Martha? How in the world can I console and comfort this man? Here I am walking around in good health, and here this man is laid on a bed for 40 years, totally paralyzed. What in the world can I possibly say to comfort him? And Dwight L. Moody said, when he went in that house, he said it's like he is stepping in glory. He said he'd never felt the presence of God like he felt. He said in this in writing, he said, I felt like Moses. I felt like I need to take my shoes off because I was on holy ground. And he said, I went in that room, and he said that room had the peace of God and the glory of God, he said, like I've never seen. He said, when he was right, he said, I just dreamed, I felt angels would have to come by every once in a while just get a drink down there. The glory of God was so real in that room. And he said that little man was laying there, not married, all alone, all in that, laying on that bed, day in, day out, couldn't move nothing. He lay there on the bed, and there's a little window right there where he could look out the window, see people go by. And he just had the glow of God all over him. Dwight L. Moody asked him, he said, sir, I got to ask you something. How in the world, with all your circumstances and all the things you've been through, how is it that you kept right with God? How have you kept this joy and rejoicing in this glory of God? Brother Moody said, surely the devil must tempt you. Surely the devil must come along and say, God don't care about you. If he cared about you, you wouldn't be like you are today. If God loved you, he'd heal you. He could have stopped you from diving that day and being paralyzed. He don't love you. And that man said, I get it all the time. He said, I'll see my friends looking out the window, and they'll be walking with her family and her kids and walking to church and walking along and enjoying the day. And he said, here I am lying in this bed day in, day out, can't move anything. And the devil will say, hey, God don't love you. If he loved you, you wouldn't be going through this. And Dwight L. Moody said, what do? He said, oh. He said, I just take him to Calvary. He said, I just take him to Calvary and see him there hanging on that cross and dying for my sins. And I said, that's how he cared for me. That's how he loves me. How that he that spared not his own son freely give us all those things. You know why we can take him from 1 Peter Miss 5, Miss chapter 5, Miss Jana, Miss Jana likes that verse 2. She's texted to me before. You know why we can take those 11 words and just chew on them and digest and lay them and bathe and breathe in them? Because of a place called Calvary. Let's bow our heads this morning. Ask my wife to come sing and play. Ask no head, just give you a few minutes this morning with the Lord. Maybe you need to come talk to him. I don't know. Pray where you're at. Come to the altar. Maybe things in your life, you say, I need to give this to the Lord. I need to give this to the Lord. Maybe things you've been dragging around too long.
Maybe bitterness, jealousy, madness at somebody. I don't know. Maybe something going on. Just need to say, God, I'm casting this care on you. I've been wearing it. It's eating me alive, Lord, and I'm tired of worrying about it. I think too many times in this life, brother, and I know I'm guilty. This message for me. But I can tell you, sometimes I just carry things around, and God just says, hey, cast it on me. Let me have it. They need to let God have it. Let God have it. Casting all, A-L-L. Not part of it. Turn loose that you got. All your care upon Him. For He careth for you. Would you dismiss us this morning?
Our Father's good to be in our house again. I pray to be with us before we live with you like we should. God direct us in all our ways.
Amen.
Yes, I pray.
Amen.